From the Main Street Mug Studios, high atop Red Mountain in Birmingham, Alabama, to computers all around the world via the World Wide Web, Main Street Mugs Live is on the air. To be a part of the show, call in now, 407-499-4335. Again, that's 407-499-4335. The phone lines are open, and we're waiting for your call. Or chat live in the chat room at mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. And now, get ready for the most interactive Disney show on the net. Here's Mike Miller and Glenn Watts, the Main Street Mugs.
Thank you very much, Mr. J. Michaels, and welcome into the March 30th edition of Main Street Mugs Live. Mike Miller, your host, yours truly, broadcasting live from our studios here in Birmingham, Alabama. My co-host Glenn Watts, broadcasting from Boca Raton, will be joining me here in just a few minutes. But guys, welcome. We're so glad you're here tonight for a very, very exciting show. Our special guest tonight, Mr. Lynn Testa. If you don't know who he is, I guess you've been hiding underneath a rock. But we'll get to him here in just a second. We are the most interactive Disney show on the net. But as we say every week, we can't be that way without you guys. We have a job to do. You have a job to do, and that's your job is to interact with us. So two very easy ways to do that. The first and easiest way is to simply call. If you can use a phone, you can interact with the show tonight. 407-499-4335. 407-499-4335. The phone lines are open throughout the entire show. You don't have to wait on a queue to call. You can call at any time, and we'll try to get to your call as quickly as possible. The other way is to chat live in the chat room with us. We have a chat room right set up right on our website, and that's mainstreetmugs.com. You're going to look for the big brown box that says chat live during the show. You can choose a username. You can be anonymous. It's really up to you. We love if you have a username, but if you don't want to, that's fine. I mean, we're not going to pick on you about that. But you can chat live right during the show on our chat room. Now, if you're listening on Ustream or some other stream, well, you have to be listening on Ustream, but if you can't find the chat, once again, simple, easy to do, just refresh or go to our website, mainstreetmugs.com, and you can chat along with everyone else in the room. Speaking of everyone in the room tonight, we always like to do a roll call at the top of the show to tell you who all is here. We've got my co-host, Mr. Glenn Watts, as the moderator this evening. He's in the room. I'm in the room as well. We've got Rinst, also known as Becky. We've got the mouse expert. That's Miss Amy Sinclair from Ears of Experience, our travel girl. We've also got Tink823, Mouse Magic, and we do have one anonymous user, 9344. So welcome, welcome, everybody. We appreciate that you're here. You know, tonight's theme is all about simple ways in which to enjoy the magic even more at Walt Disney World. And we're going to do everything from tips and tricks from our very special guest, Mr. Lynn Testa. And we're even going to get into some hidden magic of Walt Disney World. It's going to definitely be a fun, fun show this evening. But we can't go on until I bring in my buddy, my pal. And he's a pretty magical guy in his own right. In fact, they call him the Magic Man. I'm talking of none other but the guy from Boca Raton, Mr. Glenn Watts. Mr. Watts, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Miller. Great choice of intro song. I was waving to everyone in the crowd as I walked in. I just wanted to make sure everybody caught. Thanks for taking the photo in the front row, ma'am. I saw you in the red dress. Yes, thank you.
Now, you know what? I wish I had a prize. I will give, well, I don't know. We'll give them something. We'll think of something to give them. Someone in the chat room or call in if you can tell me artist of that song.
That's a good one, Michael.
No Googling is allowed.
That's true.
Mm. If you know the artist of the show, put it in the chat.
Welcome to everybody, by the way. New listeners, folks that have been with us, remember the numbers, 407-499-4335. And we're going to start off this week. I want to give you a heads up. Michael has mentioned in the chat room that we have what's called the critique of the week. Now, for those of you who know our show pretty well, you know what that means. You go out there, you vote, and we have no idea what you're going to select. And at the bottom of the last hour, we critique that attraction. This week we have, and for the new folks, it's the critique of the week. If you can't see it, just do a refresh on the screen and it'll pop up and just tally your vote there. Or you can call in at 407-499-4335. This week's five selections are Peter Pan's Flight at Magic Kingdom, Ellen's Energy Adventure at Epcot, the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular at Hollywood Studios, the Cali River Rapids at Animal Kingdom, or the All-Star Movies Resort.
Ah, some good selections there. So once again, as Glenn said, the critique of the week is up all throughout the show. You guys can vote at any time. And what we'll do is we'll tally those votes up. And in the last segment, around the last 30 minutes of the show tonight, we'll actually critique that attraction live here on the air. And we also have down at the very bottom of the critique of the week, we have what we call our kamikaze critique. And that is where you guys can enter in whatever you want. And so that really tests our knowledge, Glenn. So far, knock on wood, we haven't had anybody put that in, but you never know when they might spring the kamikaze critique on us. So
that might be fun. Yeah, I rather like the magic, the unexpected. So
that's right. So as we've been doing every week since the show began, we do a quick 60-second look at the latest and greatest and news that is the news from Disney of the past week. We call it the Mickey Minute. It is the fastest 60 seconds of Disney news on the net as we take this past week's five hottest news stories and deliver them to you faster than UPS or FedEx, which is pretty darn quick. By the way, did you hear that they may stop mail service on Saturday?
I did hear that.
Yeah, totally different subject. But anyway, so we try to be faster than UPS or FedEx. We try to do it in 60 seconds or less. Sometimes we get there, sometimes we don't. But if you're ready, Mr. Glenn Watts, fasten your seatbelt. Ladies and gentlemen, we are professionals. Don't try this at home as we bring to you this week's version of
The Mickey Minute. A 42-year-old Walt Disney World bus driver was ticketed and charged with careless driving after he rear-ended a parked and empty Mears Tour bus that was in the right-hand lane near the parking lot toll plaza at Epcot. The crash injured 8 guests and seriously injured the driver. The Mears bus had its emergency flashers on.
Bethlehem gets a dose of Disney. That's Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Selena Gomez, star of Disney Channel's Wizards of Waverly Place, will headline a show at Music Fest on the River Place stage August 14th.
Gorillas at Animal Kingdom use their smarts to help research on their hearts. While playing games and doing various exercises, the Animal Kingdom trainers. The gorilla gets a treat. The trainers get much-needed information about their heart and an ultrasound machine hidden within the bars under the play area.
That's right. Getting your grub on will soon be easier to do at Epcot as Disney plans to add two new restaurants, expanding its dining capacity at World Showcase by 20%. A 300-seat pizzeria and a 400-seat waterside Mexican cantina are in the works.
And if you're a Walt Disney World pass holder and vinyl mation collector, save the date for Saturday as D Street at Downtown Disney opens as a pass holder only event from 9:30 a.m. till 10:30 a.m.
That's right.
And that's the Mickey Minute.
That's right. That is the news that is the news from Disney for this past week. And if you'd like to comment on any of the news stories, once again, the phone lines are open, 407-499-4335. But hey, tonight, you know, we know why most of you guys probably tuned in. It's not because Glenn and I are so great and wonderful. It's because of our great and wonderful guest tonight, Mr. Len Testa. Len Testa is, of course, he is the co-author of the widely used unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. He's the brains behind the amazing crowd calendars at touringplans.com. And he's just one of the crazy host you hear on WDW Today. That's a weekly podcast that has many, many followers. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mr. Len Testa.
Woo. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me, Mike and Glenn.
No problem. Well,
welcome.
Man. Welcome.
How are you, Mr. Testa?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
We're doing great. And we are so glad to have you on tonight. I know a lot of people are going to be probably ready to ask you some questions. So once again, the phone lines are open if you'd like to jump in and ask Len a question tonight, 407-499-4335. But
I can't believe the FCC is letting me back on live radio. I mean, ever since the incident.
Now, what incident is that?
Just kidding. I mean, under the advice of my lawyers, I have no comment. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
You were saying something about news. Go ahead.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here, Len. We are so excited about you being a guest. And for those of you who have been under that proverbial rock out there who don't know who you are, could you give us a little bit of background about yourself, your family, and you know the sort of thing, and how your affinity and love of Disney World started?
Sure. So right now I'm the co-author of or a contributor to five Disney World guidebooks, the most famous of which is The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, which is authored by Bob Selinger and I co-author. It's, depending on how Amazon ranks travel books, it's generally speaking the most popular travel book in the world.
Wow.
At any given time. Oddly, Amazon ranks a novel by Jane Austen and Robinson Crusoe as travel books too. Those are usually one and two or three.
Okay.
So I don't know if anyone's getting actual travel advice from Robinson Crusoe, but you do.
If they are, it's pretty dated, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes.
Just a little.
Probably not updated every year, like or 6 months.
Not so much.
So I've been and so I've also do guidebooks for Disneyland. I contribute to the Las Vegas guidebook, also Disneyland Paris, which is coming out later on this year.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. So, you know, Lynn, take us back. This all started, you know, it's interesting. People that, you know, are into Disney as much as you are, you know, just like everybody, there had to be a first time. And tell us a little bit about your first time and what got you hooked to the point where you devote your entire life to doing this kind of stuff.
So I still remember my my first trip. It was 1974. We went with my grandparents, who I think it's a law, by the way, that everyone's grandparents have to move to Florida at some point in their lives. So mine did, of course. And so they were living in Fort Lauderdale. And we were driving from Ohio, where I lived at the time, and decided to spend a couple of days in Disney World. And at the time, of course, it was just the Magic Kingdom. So we went there. And I remember, you know, even though I was in first grade, I remember two rides very distinctly. One was the Astro Orbiter, or the Star Jets at the time, because I went on with my old grandmother, who wouldn't let me go up in the jets. We had to essentially stay spinning as low as the jets would go. And I still thought it was pretty cool. But every time I would attempt to nudge the Star Jets up, she would go, oh.
Yeah,
so
funny.
I try and mimic that. But the thing that really got me hooked was Pirates of the Caribbean, which to this day is one of my top three attractions. I remember going through the queue and realizing that Disney had made electric lights that flickered like candles. So in other words, somebody went out and designed a light fixture to work like a candle to give the attraction better atmosphere.
Right.
And I remember being so totally impressed with that as a kid that, you know, dude, somebody went to a lot of effort for this. Somebody was really thinking behind that. And I fell in love with the ride and I fell in love with the park. And since my grandparents lived in Florida, later on, you know, my family moved to Florida as well. I got to go to Disney World, you know, once a year or so. And I have a twin sister that is also a huge Disney fanatic. And even after we moved out of Florida, we both moved to North Carolina. When we got our own cars and our own jobs, we would frequently leave work Friday at 5 p.m., drive all night to Disney World, get there Saturday morning, stay all weekend, and drive home Sunday night.
And then get back to work or school at the same after you've done
this? Wow. Exactly. So it was, I mean, many times we would do that. You know, just for a weekend. And then during one trip I was finishing up my undergrad degree in computer science, and I was getting ready to do my graduate school research. And we ended up in line at Great Movie Ride one summer. And the line was just unbearable. It was one of those, you know, 2-hour waits for Great Movie Ride during summer for some reason. And I remember thinking there's got to be a better way to minimize your wait in line at theme parks. So I ended up turning that particular problem into my graduate school thesis. And the idea of minimizing your wait in line at theme parks. That that got me noticed by Bob Selinger. I got recruited out of graduate school to go work for the guide, and that's how I ended up doing the touring plan software and the touring plans for the unofficial guide.
Very cool. Yeah. So do you keep tallies? Do you keep numbers on how many times you've been, or you just finally...
I stopped. I stopped a long time ago.
Once it got past 100, you were like, whatever.
Yeah, in fact, it was. I kind of stopped many years ago, like at 70.
Mm-hmm.
I remember actually where I was. I was doing research in the Magic Kingdom, and I was trying to think of how many hours that week I had spent in the Magic Kingdom. And then from there, I tried to think how many hours of my life I had spent in the Magic Kingdom. And the thing that I got was that if I continued on that pace of visiting, you know, every couple of weeks or so, like, you know, between six, I think I'm on pace for like 12 visits this year. If I continued that pace and I spent as much time in the parks as I was going to spend, by the time I died, 3% of my life in the Disney theme parks. And at that point, I stopped counting because I thought that was just crazy.
You're like
3% of my life. You know, people say like, oh, you know, you spend 35% of your life asleep in bed or whatever.
Right.
I spend 3% of my life in a Disney theme park.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And I'm comfortable with that. I mean, whatever.
Right.
Everyone needs a hobby.
Yeah. Everybody's got to have something, you know. I mean,
I've stayed in every Disney resort except for Shades of Green, which I'm still working on.
Right.
But our hotel team has. I've obviously been on every ride. I think I'm down to like 4 or 5 restaurants that I've not been to.
My gosh.
But you know, Victoria and Albert's, I think, is one. I haven't been in Arcusi's yet. a couple of those, but really just out of the way places. Fulton's, I think, is the other one.
You live on the East Coast, right, Lynn?
Yeah, I live in North Carolina, so it's about a 10-hour drive for me.
How often do you get down there now?
I'm on pace for 12 visits this year, so I've been twice this month. Wow. Didn't go in March, but went in January for New Year's. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. So,
and you mentioned you've been several times. And I understand you're a runner as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I went the last time I was. I like to do all of my races in Walt Disney World. So anytime they've got any sort of distance event, I like to participate. So this a couple weeks ago, I just did my second Princess half marathon,
mm-hmm.
and I've done
with or without the tiara.
I actually wore the tiara. Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Yeah. And actually, there's a photo of me floating around actually at La Cava del Tequila with the
imagine
tiara
that.
On, which I guess is fitting.
Imagine that.
Go figure.
That's right on target.
I was gonna say, was that before or after a few shots?
It was before, amazingly enough,
and during and after.
And during and after. Yeah. So it was funny. It was a meetup, and I actually ended up buying they have three different. They have flights of tequila, right, where you can get three shots of tequila. I think I ended up buying 20 flights for all of the people
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. But I like to do the
as long as you can expense that, you're good.
That's true.
Exactly. Hey, Bob, guess what you bought? So right. that actually really is the coolest thing, is the fact that I'm joking a little bit about it, but it really is a great job. Yeah. Somebody pays me to go research theme parks. And, there are times when it's hot, brutal, nasty work, you know, when you're in a theme park for 16 or 17 hours walking around. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're still in a Disney theme park, and it's really not bad.
A bad day at Disney World is still better than any day anywhere else. So
there are very few terrible days in Walt Disney World.
Exactly. So you mentioned the book, and of course, I wish we had the bell ding. So ding. Feel free if you're listening or tonight, anytime that you hear us mention the unofficial guide ding, take a drink of your favorite beverage, whether that be an adult beverage or whatever you have tonight. So
I have the best drinking game, by the way. Remind me later, we'll talk about it.
Okay, cool. But that's how most people come to find out about you, and some people might not even put two and two together and realize that you are are the co-author of the book, but mm-hmm. That's how I found out about you, was through the book. And we had talked off air for the longest time. I had been a Burn Bombs guy. Burn Bomb puts out a great product. They're flashy, it's lots of pictures, but let's be honest, it's published by Disney, it has a Disney spin on it. And while that's great sometimes, hey, I want to know the truth, and not saying that they're misleading you, but once again, it's the Disney spin. I want to know if someone, doesn't think it's worth my time to stand in line for, insert attraction here. So that's what I like about the unofficial guide, is the fact that, you're going to tell us the straight story from a non-Disney spin, opinion. And that's how I learned about you. So, with that said, tell us a little bit about the book. What goes into preparing for the book? I mean, you publish one of these every year, right?
We actually update the unofficial guide every 6 months.
Every six months.
We're one of the very few. In fact, I don't know of any other travel guidebook that's updated every 6 months ours is.
Right.
I'm working on the latest revision now. In fact, I started the list again this morning. We have an ongoing sort of list of things we want to update and just minor corrections and stuff like that, prices, hours of operation like that essentially always need to be.
So as far as, what goes into the book, I mean, if you're mm-hmm. doing one every 6 months, you're probably, as you said, right now working on the next one. So you're always kind of working ahead. Yep. It's a never ending thing. I mean, from the time it goes to press to the time that it's, released and you have to start working on it, how long does that take?
So we actually work on the big Disney guidebook literally every day of the year. There's always someone working on something for the guidebook every day. So I think that makes us different than a lot of other travel organizations, where you might have a small number of people who work on three or four titles throughout the year, and once they get one title out, they'll kind of shift gears and move on to another book. So they might be doing like a Paris book and then a London book and then a Berlin book or a New York book or a Washington DC book.
Right.
But we actually have a core staff of people who do nothing but US Disney theme parks all day, every day. And that's what makes us different. And that's one of the things that allows us to get an update out every 6 months. And, of course, updates are always available on the website, touringplans.com. Every
and speaking
day.
Of that website, by the way, I got to tell you, I use it as a resource. And this is for the the folks who maybe haven't been to your website, which is again www.touringplans.com. If you buy the book, you get access. Is this true? Well, it worked for me. You get access to. You'll ask for a quote out of the book from a certain page. Okay, but what Len has is a really cool. He's got an application out there called Lines, and this is if you have a smartphone. And I use this actually on our February trip. And it worked within a couple of minutes of, and I tested it on teacups actually, and worked
really
like a champ.
Awesome.
it was 3 minutes, but that's pretty good for teacups.
Yeah.
Considering it was in the middle of the afternoon on just a random day in Glenn's life, that was so.
Yeah. So Lines is an application that gives you wait times for every attraction, including character greetings, and fast pass distribution times for everything in Walt Disney World. There are a number of wait time applications for Disney World out on various app stores. By the way, Lines works for the iPhone. It works for BlackBerry. It works for Android. It works for Palm Pre and Pixie. Windows Mobile looks great. You can see it at M, like mobile, touringplans.com. But it'll tell you all of these wait times. The interesting thing that a couple of interesting things that makes Lines different than like the Disney Mobile Magic is we'll actually show you every single attraction, not just the most popular ones. So if you want to know what the wait times are to visit Toontown Hall of Fame and get autographs for princesses or fairies, we'll tell you that and other apps won't. The other really spiffy thing that we do is we'll actually predict what the wait times are and what the fast pass distribution times are going to be for the rest of the day.
Wow. That's very cool.
One of the other things that makes the unofficial guide different is we rely very heavily on data to make our recommendations. And as a result, we have on staff a number of people who are very comfortable crunching numbers all day long. In fact, we have a professional statistician named Fred, who, along with Henry, our web developer who developed Lines, came up with these models that we use to make those predictions about the wait times. So, Glenn, when you're saying that that the wait times are off by 3 minutes, I think for a med tea party in the middle of the day, that's really, really fantastic.
Oh, that is, no, you can't beat it. I mean, not even the boards at Disney. I mean, at some, at Epcot or give you an estimated and fast pass arrival time. It was amazing. So 3 minutes was for me, it was fantastic.
Yeah. So the cool thing about the way the models work is as the day goes on and more people submit their own wait times, from what they see in the park, the models automatically get better and they recalculate. Literally every single time someone gives us a piece of data, we automatically recalculate everything for every attraction in every park. So if you tell us, for example, that Space Mountain is 70 minutes right now, not only will we recalculate Space Mountain's predicted times, but we know what that means for every other attraction throughout all of Walt Disney World, and we recalculate that on the fly as well.
That's very cool. Now, I haven't had a chance to because I joke with people all the time. As big of a techie as I am, you would think that I would have an iPhone or a BlackBerry. No, I've got a phone that gets the job done. It's great, and I pay like $50 a month unlimited, and it's wonderful. But I need to cross over into the 90s and get a smartphone, I guess. Is it text based primarily? Does it have graphics with it? What does it look like?
It actually doesn't. So we spent a lot of time. Our developer Henry spent a lot of time refining the user experience. It's text based,
okay.
And that works. What that means in practice, though, is it? Sorry, go ahead.
No. I said that's a good thing because the way I used it, it was alphabetical.
Right.
So it made perfect sense to me because I scrolled down to the exact the attraction I was going to, and then I was there. So alphabetical worked for me instead of the GUI interface.
And also probably the more graphics would mean a slower load time on your phone, depending on if you get 3G or whatever,
Exactly. So most people just want to know a couple of quick things. What's the wait time at Splash Mountain right now? If I park hopped to Epcot, are there still fast passes available for Soarin'? And we wanted to make that part of the user experience as good as possible. So we do a couple of not only is it text based, but we do a number of tricks behind the scenes to make sure that those pages load as quickly as possible. One cool thing that we added just a couple of weeks ago actually is we added an in-park chat to Lines right now. So as we use Lines, we were we would see other people updating attractions while we're in the parks, and invariably I'd be like a minute behind someone all day. Where like had I been 60 seconds faster, I could have said hi to someone at some of all thrills.
Right.
For example, so we actually added a chat feature a couple weeks ago where you can ask questions about other people in the parks or ask other users for support. So for example, what's a good restaurant in, you know, on the east side of World Showcase, for example, and people will respond. So people are using this new feature in Lines to get in-park support or to ask trip planning questions, which is really neat because it's you know, we don't do forums or anything on the website. That's not really what we we're about. But it's really neat to see people take advantage of the chat feature. And on any given day, we have many hundreds of wait times being added to the to Lines, and many dozens of users, probably like around 100 right. users a day. It's- we're really getting great coverage on the app.
It is a super cool thing, you know, because I remember back when my family and I went in 2004, you know, we my kids were pretty young then, and we got the Pal Mickey. Remember Pal Mickey?
Yeah.
And I remember walking around with Pal Mickey, and I was thinking, you know, it's just a matter of time before someone develops a more, you know, not that there's anything wrong with carrying around a plush Mickey that talks and vibrates, but, you know, no, I mean, yeah. you know, now that the advent of smartphones and cell phones and texting technology, I was just thinking then, you know, it's just a matter of time before someone incorporates this to a cell phone. And you guys have done an amazing job at that. So, I mean,
yeah, I think the thing that works really well with ours is we support all of the major platforms. And right. I think we're the only app that does that. And so, you know, obviously, more users is means better data. And so that was a great decision on our part to do that.
Right. A couple of questions from the chat room real quick for you, Lynn.
Oh, sure.
Anastasia was asking, she said she just went out and purchased the unofficial guide. Ding.
Thank you.
But she was wanting to know how many unofficial guides are there, I guess, for other parks or other vacation spots around the United States?
Oh, that's a great question. So we generally have an unofficial guide for every one of the most popular travel destinations in the world, everything from, you know, the Disney theme parks to Las Vegas is a huge seller for us, as is London and New York. I think there are about, at any given time, there are about two dozen unofficial guides in print. The big sellers are obviously Disney World or the Disney theme parks.
Right.
Vegas, Maui is big, England and London. Oh, New York City is actually big too. Paris is also fairly popular,
and so
that's my dream job.
I was going to say, do you help provide content for the other books as well?
I do. I do occasionally things for. So I definitely contribute to Disneyland. I do all the Disney theme parks worldwide. So I definitely helped out on Paris last year. For other guides like Vegas, I will do certain parts of it. So I'll do like hotel reviews.
Right.
Or occasionally, if we want to do research, one of the things we're kicking around for Vegas this year, which is hysterical, is we're going to try and figure out which bars on the strip pour the strongest drinks.
So you know where to get.
Listen, if you need any volunteers,
yeah, I know, right.
I'm in. I'm available. After 5 o'clock and before. Okay.
So to do that, you get a hygrometer, which is a device that measures alcohol content.
Oh my gosh!
And so we have this elaborate thing where we're going to go bar to bar on the strip and not actually drink, but bring our hygrometer,
yeah, right.
and, you know, gram scale and do that. So it should be a hoot. I'll help Bob when Bob does buffet reviews. You know, pretty much anywhere, because I think I'm comfortable reviewing buffets. When it comes to things like fine dining, that's really outside of my league.
Right.
We have a stable of people. This is another thing that makes the unofficial guide sort of different, is to work on a particular section of the book, you either have to have like a decade of experience doing it for the guide, or you have to be an expert in that field before you join us. So like our hotel team people either have worked in the hotel industry, have owned B&Bs, or, you know, been in the lodging industry for 10 years. Are the people who do our fine dining reviews are either own their own restaurant, are professional chefs or classically trained chefs, or have been doing, you know, dining reviews for more than 10 years outside the guide.
Wow.
Are, you know, every area within the guide that is meaningful, there is a set of experts behind the scenes that works on that. Even to design experiments for the guide, like if we have a question about what's the most popular time to get ADRs, the people who design those, who come up with how to solve those questions, have experience doing experiment design. It's incredible the amount of work that goes into the thing.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Len, we're up against our bottom of the hour break. Can you stick around with us for one more segment?
I'd be happy to.
Awesome. Cool. Great. If you've got questions for Len, 407-499-4335. Come on, guys. The phone lines are open. Line them up. You can also chat in the chat room. Ask your questions in the chat room as well. And don't forget to vote for the critique of the week all throughout the show tonight. It's right there on the website. More Main Street Mugs when we come back.
Main Street Mugs. It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
I'm having a great time. Ted, you have something dangling from your chin.
Okay, here. Did I get it?
Not yet. It's right under your, I think it is your chin.
Oh, yeah, my double chin. I'm losing it thanks to small step number 85. When eating out, choose smaller portions.
I see. Well, it's working. I think your chin just fell into my ceviche.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy, the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
Today, people are living united. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and you're listening to the Main Street Mugs. Come on out. We'll be saving you a seat.
Welcome back into Main Street Mugs Live, the March 30th edition, with yours truly, Mike Miller. Glenn Watts, my co-host, rejoins me for the second half of this hour. And, of course, our guest, Mr. Lynn Testa. Gentlemen, are you still with me?
We are. Hey.
Awesome, awesome. Very cool. 407-499-4335 is the call-in number. We have, in fact, I believe we have a call right out of the gate here. Josh, are you with us?
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
This is Josh Trigg, Lynn, from Arkansas, one of our regulars. Josh, go ahead with your question for Lynn.
Hey, Lynn, I was just going to ask you, you know, as you're going through the parks, most things on teenagers' minds is, how many rides can I get in, like, you know, an hour? How many rides can I ride? How many times can I ride it?
Awesome.
I always ask people, you know, what's the best tip for getting rides? And I usually get, you know, fast pass or hit it at a time when there's not a lot of people. Is there something else that, you know, I'm not thinking of that could possibly, you know, get me on the most rides in the least amount of time?
So do you want to ride the same ride over and over again, or are you really just looking for the most rides?
Just multiple rides.
So here's the thing. We have we have something called the Ultimate Magic Kingdom Touring Plan. Are you familiar with it?
Not exactly.
So it's you would love this. The Ultimate Magic Kingdom Touring Plan is a touring plan of the Magic Kingdom that gets you on every ride, every show, every parade, every fireworks in the Magic Kingdom in one day in as little time as possible.
Wow.
So on a typical day, that's like anywhere from 50 to 55 attractions in less than 12 hours. It's insane, by the way. It's crazy.
That's almost like having one of those magic media, you know, fast pass badges that everybody wants, you know?
Yeah, those things are the best. but I would say it's on the website. It's free. Look in the Magic Kingdom section of the website under touring plans. There's one called Ultimate Magic Kingdom Touring Plan. The record for what it's worth is actually held by our statistician and our developer right now, but it's like 55 attractions in 11 hours, 20 some minutes.
Wow,
and it includes,
wow.
I mean, wow. So that includes character autographs. It includes all the parades, all the fireworks, every open attraction in the park, the flag retreat, just literally everything. And if you wanted to see everything in the park in one day, that's the way to do it. Let me put that in perspective for you too. The average family in Walt Disney World sees something like 12 attractions in about 10 hours. You see, in this touring plan, you see 55 attractions in about the same amount of time.
Wow.
So more than four times as many attractions. Your average wait in line is less than 2 minutes.
Now, is this applicable no matter what time you go? I mean, obviously, that's probably going to be tough to pull off on, you know, President's Day or Christmas
it's
or something
actually,
like that.
It's actually not. So the touring plan is so efficient. We actually
really?
Had so we've been offering this touring plan since 2003, and we actually it came about because I was sitting in Bob Selinger, the co-author, in his house in Birmingham, Alabama. We were testing out the software.
He lives in Birmingham?
He lives in Birmingham.
I did not know that. I'm in Birmingham. Wow,
and you should have him on the show.
I should.
And
you're right.
You should. So and we're sitting there trying to test the software, and at the end of the night, you know, we had gone through, we thought it all worked. He's like, you know, put in everything. See what it gives us for everything. Because at the time, we actually had a line in the book that said, look, no matter how efficient you are, you will never see everything in the Magic Kingdom in one day. Yeah, Bob had actually written this. So we plugged everything in, and sure enough, the touring plan software came back with a touring plan that said, yeah, you could do it. So we actually put in the book a paragraph that said, look, we don't know if this is possible, frankly, and you'd be stupid to try. But if you want to give it a shot, send us a note. We'll give you the touring plan. You try it. And lo and behold, you know, the book came out in like October. And then in December, somebody wrote us and said, yeah, we're going to try it. They tried it in February and they did it. And wow. At the time, you know, since it was February and it was off season and we were using a relatively narrow definition of what an attraction was. I think they only had to do like 37 attractions, but they did it. So they did literally every open attraction in the Magic Kingdom in one day. Now it includes, you know, things like, you know, Shrunken Ned's Junior Jungle Boat Adventures and arcades and the Frontierland Shooting Arcade and stuff like that. So it's like up to like 55 or 60 things, depending on what's open, but still doable. And you know, we continue to refine it.
That's so amazing. Kudos to Fred for the 55 in 11 hours. That's pretty amazing.
Really, yeah, really. Fred and Henry. Yeah, it's insane. Oh,
there you go.
Josh.
And listen, earlier in the – I'm sorry. Josh.
Yeah, I was going to say, Josh, anything else you got?
Well, actually, that was pretty awesome. And do you have that type of touring plan for all the parks or just the Magic Kingdom?
So we're actually working on it. If you want, send me an email, Josh, and I'll put you in touch with Henry, our developer. Earlier today, we started talking about what the ultimate Magic Kingdom or the ultimate touring plans would look like for the other parks. If you think the Magic Kingdom is crazy, think about Epcot. So Epcot, you hate to say never, but I don't know whether you could actually do an ultimate touring plan of Epcot. I think all the other parks, it's pretty straightforward. I know we've actually informally done the Animal Kingdom. I think the studios is pretty straightforward to do too, depending on the show schedule. But Epcot, I think, is going to be the tricky one.
Wow. Right. And, well, if you need any testers for any of those new ones, just give me a holler. And I'm definitely will try those out for you.
That'd be great. Thanks very much. Just wear some comfortable shoes. And I like to tell people, if you've never considered adult diapers like Depends, it really does kind of cut down on the amount of time that you have to spend in bathrooms. So I'm just saying, dude.
All right. Man. That just takes care of the bathroom problem.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's...
But shoot me an email, lynn@touringplans.com, and we'll keep up with the plans.
That is hardcore right there. Josh, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Have a good show.
All right, you too, man. Thanks, Josh. Real quick, I wanted to mention to you guys and thank you for voting during the break. You guys have been voting in numbers for the critique of the week. Current results, guys. We have Ellen's Energy Adventure in first place with 45% of the vote. Let's see. We've got Peter Pan's Flight coming in at second place with 27% of the vote. Cali River Rapids with 18% of the vote, and then 1% or 9% of the vote, rather, we've got All-Star Movies. So right now it looks like if it keeps going the way it is, we're going to be critiquing Ellen's Energy Adventure at Epcot later tonight, Glenn.
That sounds good, actually. So. And you know, I love Epcot because, of course, the adult beverages. And speaking of adult beverages, we were mentioning earlier in the show something about a new drinking game that came up during conversation. Maybe, Glenn, could you share your expertise? I'm as a fellow person who enjoys, you know, an adult beverage here and
I was
there.
Gonna say
and,
former. What? What are you?
Former what?
Oh, that's right. I fell off the bandwagon. Okay. So, as also a connoisseur of fine tequila, and La Cava de Tequila is just a godsend for me. Right. We were mentioning a new drinking game. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
So it came out. We have a new Walt Disney World guidebook out called The Color Companion to Walt Disney World. It's a companion book to the unofficial guide, but it's got more than 560 photos in it. So it's a photo-based guide to Walt Disney World that we thought would be a great companion to our big Disney World book, because the photos got people excited, or would get people excited about planning their trip to Walt Disney World, and you get to show things like what the interior of the resorts look like and so on. So one of the things we got to do was, and it was very rare, it almost never happens because the unofficial guide's been around for 20 some years, but we actually got a chance to rewrite the reviews of all of the classic Disney attractions for this new guidebook, because where the big unofficial guide is sort of a facts and figures based treatment of the parks, the thing we wanted to express in The Color Companion is sort of our love of the parks. So one of the things that I have as a running joke is about the Great Movie Ride. And if you look at the Great Movie Ride, I was reviewing it one time for the Unofficial Guide, or just, you know, going through and checking it to make sure that we our description of it was accurate. And I happened to be behind this this family that was a mom and a daughter, and the daughter was like, you know, 6 or 7 years old. And she was absolutely terrified through the entire attraction because of all the violence in it. So if you think about the Great Movie Ride, there is actually quite a bit of violence.
That's true, yeah.
In the ride. So the girl actually got scared during, you know, the initial gunfight scene in the Jimmy Cagney scene in the gangster film thing that they do with the gunshots. She was actually terrified by that, that initial part of it. And then they, you know, got to the Old West scene with the bank robbery and the yep. explosions and stuff. And she was, you know, freaked out by that. And her mom's trying to tell her, you know, okay, honey, the bad parts are over. The bad parts are over. And then came the alien scene.
Yeah.
And that was it. Me. She was done for the day. So what I realized was that there's a lot of death and violence in the movie. So I said, you know, this would totally be a great drinking game is if every time you saw something in the Great Movie Ride that reminded that either was a scene with death visible, right? So the James Cagney thing where he's threatening to kill someone or to kick out their teeth, or, you know, when you go past John Wayne with a gun and there's a bank robbery or with the alien thing. Anytime you go past a scene and you can either point to some scene of violence or name where someone dies in that film, you would drink. But they don't serve alcohol on the ride. So what I came up with was, and I'll actually read you. Do you mind if I read you the review?
No, go ahead, man. We'd love that. Yeah.
Okay. So here it is. This is from the Color Companion. It says, I make two observations about the Great Movie Ride. The first is that a lot of the films, no one under the age of 40 actually understands anymore. So no one really under the age of 40 really knows who Busby Berkeley is, or has actually seen a James Cagney movie. My other observation is this: is that the Great Movie Ride would make an excellent drinking game because there's an underlying theme throughout most of the scenes. Because drinks aren't allowed on the attraction, we propose the following rules for what we're calling the Great Movie Ride of Love. Begin the ride seated next to your spouse, significant other, or random attractive stranger you met in line. Kiss said person once. For every violent scene, display of a weapon, or reference to death you find in the ride, including deaths you can name from the film, if not shown in the attraction. So, for example, when the Wicked Witch of the West gets killed in the Wizard of Oz scene, that counts.
Right.
Okay. We're pretty sure you and your sweetie will be giggling like young lovers mere minutes into the ride, and you'll probably be gasping for breath by the finale. So I actually counted in the finale 42 separate instances just in that 1 minute finale that counted this. So I did it with Jim Hill. You guys know Jim?
Yes.
Jim and I wrote together. You know, I'm going through it. I'm just, you know, looking at the scenes. Jim's going 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 23, 24.
What I want to know, Lynn, is how many pregnancies are you responsible for fitting?
So I expect a lot of children with the middle names of Lynn to
there
be.
You go.
So it's funny in the Color Companion we've got three photos from Great Movie Ride. One is the iconic John Wayne scene from The Searchers. One is the opening scene where it says this particular journey into the movies, and then I've got Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman and the Casablanca scene. And the caption for that one is "Pucker up," which I think is just hysterical. So the Color Companion was a hoot in that we got to rewrite, you know, a great many of the attraction descriptions. And again, it's something that, you know, only comes around once every decade or so, and it was just so much fun to do.
That is awesome. So, I mean, guys, definitely, I would highly recommend that you pick up Unofficial Guide and then write a lot. Now, is it there beside it? Like if they go to Books A Million or whatever their local, you know.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble. Yeah, it should be right beside it. In fact, it's okay. If you go into Amazon, they're actually offered together.
Cool.
At a tremendous discount, actually. Cool. Amazon has by far the lowest price for both of them. If you guys got time, I'll read you one more.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So this is for Mad Tea Party. So it says, "It looks so cute. Oversized teacups. Inside every extra large teacup, however, is a metal wheel of death."
Yes, it is.
Okay. Not death in the literal sense, but the guide's marketing reps note that metal wheel of gastrointestinal discomfort isn't as catchy. And our lawyers say the aesthetics justify the hyperbole. The faster you spin the metal wheel, the faster your teacup spins about its central axis. And while your cup is spinning around its central axis, it's also spinning in a larger circle with two other cups. And all of the cups are spinning on one giant orbit around the middle of the ride. It's circles within circles within circles. Needless to say, the row of green hedges you see around the outside of the ride while you're waiting in line are there for you to vomit in afterwards without having to get janitors to clean it up. We write from experience. Sad, sad experience. Whatever you do, don't go on this ride with anyone to whom you've helped give birth.
That's true. That's true.
That's good.
Yes. So that's sort of what we have in the Color Companion book.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yes. You know, and the thing is that I love your humor. You know, your irreverent, sarcastic humor. It's awesome. I mean, that's I think one of the things that makes you guys as popular as you are. So, in the last few minutes that we have with you, Lynn, I wanted to touch back. You know, we mentioned, of course, all the data and number crunching that goes into. You know, creating, you know, the data for lines and things like that. But one big thing that people always do whenever they're planning a trip to Disney, Glenn and I have done it for our upcoming trip in 17 days, was everybody always goes, and if you haven't done this, I highly recommend that you do, and that's you look at the crowd calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, your crowd calendar is based on a scale of 1 to 10, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for our dates, we're at a 7, so we're hoping it's not.
It's moved, by the way, Michael.
Oh, really? So down or up?
Yeah, the data, I checked it. In fact, I checked it during the show, and our data is now more 8 and 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, for Lynn's edification, we're planning what we call our research trip, which is not quite as opulent as your research trips are. However, we're doing a research trip the weekend of April the 16th through the Monday the 19th. So it went from
as soon as you said eight, so okay, 16,
yeah.
17.
Yeah. Yeah, it went up from sixes and sevens up to eights and nines now. So, but that's and Michael's absolutely correct. I swear by this guide. And you know, when it comes to the crowd calendar, I live by it. So it's a great addition to the website.
So how do you guys go about you know, putting those together? I mean, is it the same kind of data that you use to put the lines data together, or something different, or what do you use?
So it's a couple of things. So the wait time data from the parks is definitely a big factor into that. And by the way, the crowd calendar is maintained by Fred, our statistician who does a you know, great job in it. But it includes everything from historical wait time data to things like the public school calendars for the 50 largest school districts east of the Mississippi.
Right.
And things like the travel behavior of people who drive to Walt Disney World. So one of the big things that we got from the Department of Transportation was research that they had done on the most frequent days of travel for people who travel to Orlando. So there are data available that we essentially scour the web for when we ask questions like what days of the week are going to be busiest for the Magic Kingdom and what are the crowds going to be like. We also look at things like historical hotel occupancy patterns for the entire Orlando area going back to like 2002. All of that and many, many other things are factors that go into the crowd ratings, and it's you know, park hours, things like that. It's not one particular thing we look at. It's a lot of individual things,
right,
that we use to combine into a crowd estimate. So
like for instance, for Glenn and I, you know,
mm-hmm.
someone goes, they check out the crowd calendar, you know, they mm-hmm. get quote unquote bad news. It's a 9, it's a 10.
Mm-hmm.
What are your suggestions on a way to turn a 9 or 10 day into a good day and not let it ruin your whole trip?
So the thing that we actually say on the crowd calendar page is that having a touring plan is about 5 times more important than picking the right park or the right day of week to go.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we were talking about the Ultimate Magic Kingdom touring plan earlier. One of the records for that plan was actually set the weekend of July 4th one year.
Wow.
Because the touring plans are so efficient that they really help you avoid crowds. If you have a choice between using a touring plan and picking the right day of the week, always go with the touring plan. The touring plan will always help you out.
Gotcha.
So that's definitely the way to go. So even if it's a 9 or a 10, having the touring plans will help you out immensely. In fact, you really can't tour efficiently without one.
Now speaking of the touring plans, mm-hmm. you know, this is a question that I had. Of course, you know, we have Amy Sinclair, who works with Ears of Experience. She's our travel girl. And, you know, a lot of travel agencies will, you know, kind of put together an itinerary for you. Mm-hmm. Can you use the itinerary that the travel agent gives you in conjunction with the touring plans? Do you see that a lot?
Sure. So we do. One of the things we do on the website, and it's free, by the way, is we allow people to create their own touring plans. And when you print it out, it looks like just like one of ours.
Right.
But we realize that there are some people who aren't as interested in saving every minute of time like we are. So we let them order the touring, the attractions and the touring plan to whatever need they want. If they want to spend more time in Fantasyland, for example, then that'll let them do it. One of the interesting things we saw, though, once we started doing this, is that travel agents use it a lot to create their own custom itineraries for people.
Right, gotcha.
So yeah, you can definitely do that. And Amy can do it as well. The thing that I would say is this: for whatever park you're going to and for whatever age group you have, take a look at the general advice for the morning for that we would give you for that touring plan. So if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, for example, and you've got kids under the age of 8, just take a look at one of our one-day touring plans for the Magic Kingdom for parents with small children and see what attractions we recommend to visit, you know, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 order.
Gotcha.
And do it in that order, because there's a reason that we put it in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 order, and that's because it's that part of the day is most critical. So things get less critical the later on in the day you go, but definitely do those first attractions first.
I feel so sorry. And you can tell, because you can see it on their face. I feel so sorry for the people that just go to Disney and don't have any type of plan whatsoever.
It amazes me, because you think of the amount of money you're dropping on that. I mean, would you? It's like deciding one day that you're going to buy a car without doing any research. And I'm sure it happens, but, you know, dude, an hour of research will save you so much hassle in pretty much any endeavor in life, right?
Absolutely.
And so what we say is, you know, for every day of your trip, spend an hour planning it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, if you're going on a 7-day trip that you have to essentially dedicate one 7-hour stretch of your life to doing it. But, you know, one night a week for a week ahead of time, you know, plan out what you're gonna do, where you're gonna see, what you're gonna eat, things like that, and your life will be so much easier once you get there.
Yeah, Lynn, we've actually got a call from Amy Sinclair from Ears of Experience. Amy, go ahead, talk to Lynn.
Hey, Lynn, this is Amy. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Good. We actually have used a lot of your stuff to build our itineraries for our clients, and just to reiterate, you know, we go down only during the busy time, so we will be heading down the day after Easter.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's the plan is more important than the day. But what I'm wondering, and how are you guys going to come up against, is all the stuff that's coming up with the construction and things. How are you kind of foreseeing that, especially with the book and things? You know, for all of us that are fans of yours that are using it, you know, things are changing, you know, weekly almost on some of this stuff. So how are you guys planning ahead with the next almost 2 to 3 years of things that are going on? It's really essentially just Magic Kingdom, but on how you're going to stay ahead of the game in planning.
So a couple of things. One is we work very closely with our Disney media reps to know, tentatively speaking, what kind of schedule they have. I mean, obviously, this is you know, the Fantasyland expansion and the demolition of Toontown is it's like a 2 or 3 year project. To the extent that they know what's going to happen on a month by month basis for that, they're telling us. And so that's how we're planning out the first edition of the 2011 guide. The good news is that, again, we publish the book every 6 months. So in the event that something happens in January or in December that we're not aware of, we'll have another revision out in February, so we'll be able to update that. And of course, we have the website too, where anything late breaking gets done. The other thing that we do, though, is once Disney tells us that, we're very good at data and computers. We will actually run simulations of the touring plans on the park, anticipating those changes. So, for example, if we know that Toontown's not going to exist, and we know that the aerial dark ride is going to handle about 2,000 people an hour, let's say, or 2,100 people an hour, we can build that into our models and see what that does to all of the other attractions in the park. And that's how we do those things. So, for example, I'll give you an example. When Space Mountain closed earlier last year, for several months before that, we ran computer simulations that said, that tried to figure out what would happen to the people who would have gone to Space Mountain early, and where would they go instead, and how would that affect the wait times. And we actually suggested alternative touring plans for that time period when Space Mountain was down, And literally, it worked perfectly the first time we published them because we had done so much advanced research and so much testing of it ahead of time that literally the entire time Space Mountain was down, did not get a single complaint about the alternate terrain plan that we produced. And we, generally speaking, serve more than 500,000 touring plans in any given year.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. So it's just impressive. Just a lot of. I mean, we do occasionally screw things up. To this day, I owe Lou Mangiello an apology because I didn't put Toy Story Mania first in a touring plan 1 year, but there was a reason for it. Technically, I was right, but his was slightly better advice. Anyway.
Right.
So we do get stuff wrong, but generally, you know, Toy Story Mania was interesting. I actually didn't think it should have been first in the touring plan. Toy Story Mania is interesting because Disney told us that they were going to get 1,600 people an hour through it. And at 1,600 people an hour, it should be the third attraction in the studios that you see in the studios after Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. The problem was they don't get anywhere near 1,600 people an hour through it. If they're lucky, they get 900.
Yeah, that's on a good day.
I don't know if somebody needed to open a window and was sniffing glue or something when they came up with the original estimate or what, but you know, our initial touring plan was based on that. And you know, even if they're slightly off, you think, well, they're going to hit 80% of 1,600. So they're going to be at, you know, 12, 1,300. They're not anywhere close to that. And so Lou Mangiello and I had this discussion when it first came out, and Lou's like, oh, it's got to be first. It's got to be first. And he was right.
Lynn, one quick question. Lou who?
Yeah, Mangiello.
I'm just kidding. It's an inside joke here on this broadcast. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I love Lou. He's a great guy.
He is.
We love him. We love him. But Amy, thanks so much for calling.
Anything else, Amy?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the answers. Yep.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being on tonight.
Oh, happy to.
Cool. Thanks, Amy. Amy's a great gal, and we tell everybody all the time, if you're looking to book travel with Disney and you want a personalized service, someone that's going to really go to bat for you and really crunch the numbers to get you the best deal and find the easiest and the best time to go, call Amy, 1-877-80-MOUSE, or go to our website. You can link to that off of our website, mainstreetmugs.com. But let's talk for a minute about Lynn's websites and all the places he can be. In the last few minutes we got with you, Lynn, basically just the floor is yours. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you can offer them. For lack of a better term, pimp yourself out for just a second.
Yeah, thanks. So the website is touringplans.com, touringplans.com. Couple of interesting things on there that are completely free for anyone. We do a least expensive ticket calculator. Have you guys seen this?
I have not seen that.
I have not seen that either.
So Bob came to us 1 year and said, give us three rules, or give our readers three rules for how to find the least expensive ticket. And least expensive set of tickets for whatever they want to do in Walt Disney World. And so he said, you know, do it in three sentences. Well, it turns out you can't do it in three sentences. In fact, I got a headache doing it. So I ended up writing a computer program that figured out what the least expensive combination of tickets was to buy if you told it what you wanted to see in Walt Disney World. So for example, if you said, I want to visit the theme parks for 5 days, I want to park hop, and I want to go to a water park once, what's the least expensive combination of tickets to buy? It'll tell you that, and it'll tell you which vendor sells it. So I don't know if you guys have affiliations with any ticket wholesalers, but some of them definitely have prices that are less expensive than Disney. So this tells you that it's called the least expensive ticket calculator, and you tell it how many adults and how many kids, and it'll tell you how much money you could save by buying this. So one of the very interesting things about that is, if you're only going to visit a water park once, it never makes sense to buy the water park fun and more option. Even though Disney will try and sell you that first,
right? That makes sense. Yeah.
So it would also tell you all of the sort of subtle ways to see the most for the least amount of money. That's absolutely free on the website. The average family we think saves around $40 just by using it. So it's definitely worth your time. A couple other things we have. Like I said earlier, I've been to every hotel in Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. On the website, in the hotel section, we have thousands of full-color, large images inside and outside of every resort in Walt Disney World. Plus, we've got links to videos on YouTube that we took ourselves of those. So all those videos are anywhere from 5 to 9 minutes long.
Gotcha.
That walk over every single aspect of the room. So you'll definitely be able to see before you book what exactly it is you're getting yourself into.
Very cool.
In Walt Disney World. Those are the big highlights.
And then, of course, you know, you do your own podcast, or not your own. You're a co-host on your own podcast. Talk about that real quick.
That's right. We do a show 3 times a week, WDWtoday.com. We just celebrated our 700th episode.
Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
I know. Yeah, wow. Thanks.
Glenn, we'll get there one day.
We're only 700. We're nipping right at their heels.
That's right.
At the time. It's all about persistence, right? Just take the long-term view.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's right. We've been doing that since 2005, and we're one of the top or the most popular podcasts in travel in iTunes.
Awesome. And they put on a great show, guys. It's one of our favorites, you know. I mean, hey, we want you to come and listen to us, but we're all one big happy family. I mean, if you love Disney, you know, if you're a fan of ours, you're more than likely a fan of Lynn's and WW Today. So we highly encourage you to check out their show. When does it air? I mean, you guys have a live show monthly, but then you do a podcast, was it every other day, I believe?
So it's a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we do a live show on the last Sunday of every month. The thing about the podcast is that we're sort of known for our spontaneity, which really means that we don't plan anything very well. It tends to keep the banter fresh. That's what I like to say.
Exactly. So, Lynn, thank you so much for being on with us tonight, man. Great information. We appreciate it so much.
Thanks for having me.
Glenn, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. 407-499-4335 is the number. When we come back, Glenn and I are going to get into what we like to call hidden magic at Walt Disney World. Little things you might not know about. Some things I didn't know about until I read the book that my wife got me a few weeks ago. Some really cool hidden little gems that make your trip more magical the next time you go to Walt Disney World. That's next on Main Street Mugs Live.
Main Street Mugs.
Honey. Honey.
What's wrong?
Honey, I can't sleep.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I worry we're drifting.
Drifting? Like a boat?
No, you know, apart. I mean, all we ever talk about anymore is the bills and work.
I know, but that's just natural. You know, that's just where we are in our lives, that's all.
And you never talk to me anymore.
What do you mean I never talk to you? I'm talking to you right now.
No, I mean like you used to.
What do you mean?
You know. You never talked to me in that special way like you used to.
I know, but we were younger then. We were in college.
See, that's what I mean. We're drifting.
No, we're not drifting. Just because I don't talk to you in that special way.
There's even more magical stuff now.
Okay, guys, back to bed.
We're too excited to sleep.
Imagine how excited your kids will be when their favorite Disney stories come to life on a magical Walt Disney World vacation.
You sleep?
No, too excited.
I heard that.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Everyone thinks they know the story of the princess and the frog.
You!
No.
must kiss me.
Excuse me?
Please, princess. It will make me human again.
Just one kiss.
Unless you beg for more.
But no one knows what happened after the kiss. Until now.
How did you get way up there? And how did I get way down here and all this...
On Disney Blu-ray and DVD. In the tradition of Walt Disney's most beloved classic. Comes the story behind the most magical kiss the world has ever known. Walt Disney Pictures, The Princess and the Frog, on Disney Blu-ray and DVD.
Own it March 16th, 2010. Send it on.
Powerful force in the world is?
You mean friendship?
Friendship for sure.
How about a million friends teaming up to do something?
Disney's Friends for Change is about friends coming together to make big changes.
Really big.
We're talking monumental.
Our friends and our determination to make a change is an amazing combination. So we're getting together with our friends to help make our planet a better place for all of us.
With one little action, the shame reaction will never stop. Make us strong.
Visit Disney.com/Friends for Change and register to take the Friends for Change pledge.
I'm Miley.
And I, Emily.
I, Brenda.
And I, Mitchell.
I, Chelsea.
And I, Brandon.
I, Nick.
I, Kevin.
And I, Joe.
Promise to register and pledge.
Hey, reg and pledge.
Reg and pledge.
We promise to reg and pledge allegiance to the planet on which we stand.
There's power in all the choices we make.
So I'm starting.
Once we've all pledged, you'll get a say in how Disney will spend $1 million on projects to help this planet.
Projects that save energy,
save water,
create less waste, and heal the earth.
That's the power of Disney's Friends for Change. So come on, visit Disney.com/Friends for Change to reg and pledge.
We did. And get your friends to reg and pledge, too.
Then keep watching Disney Channel to learn about our Friends for Change global projects.
Together, we'll save the planet, one friend at a time.
Make it strong.
Main Street Mugs Live returns for hour number two. My co-host Glenn Watts joins me. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. That was fantastic to have Mr. Testa on the show.
Absolutely.
I hope the listeners enjoyed that.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, you know, there are some people that are just walking encyclopedias of Disney knowledge. He's kind of like that, you know?
Indeed he is. I mean, yeah, I had a great time. In fact, you know, I was even a little nervous there. So
I could sit and listen to him just talk for hours. It's really cool. Yeah. So, but
well, speaking of great folks, yes. I want to mention the folks that are in the chat room now. We have Anastasia 11962, Disney fan 2013, myself, Michael, Becky, that's Rianst, Amy. We have Will Drone, I don't know Will Drone.
Yeah,
welcome.
He's new. Welcome.
Oh, and Anon 1981. So welcome, everybody.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And, of course, also throughout the show, you guys have been voting for the critique of the week. What are the current tallies, Glenn?
Currently we have Ellen's Energy Adventure with 46% of the vote, followed by Peter Pan's Flight with 31%. Cali River Rapids at 15% and All-Star Movies at 8%. So currently Ellen's Adventure. We're going on an energy adventure this evening, it looks like.
Right, right.
So far. But there's lots of time to vote.
That's right. That's right. We will we'll critique whatever you guys choose in the last segment of the show, which will be about the last 30 minutes of the show or so. Right. So
one thing I want to add, Michael, this week Michael has been very, very busy. he added a new besides both of our hectic schedules, Michael has taken a lot of time to create a new store for, if you're interested in having some of our Main Street Mugs gear, check out the store. It's right below there. You're going to see myself in a video that was edited by a friend of ours of the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the music is more the 80s music, and you'll like the video, but do check out the link to Main Street Mugs merchandise there at the store.
Yep. We've got a couple of brand new things that I just put up yesterday, in fact, because let's face it, our demographic, most of our listeners are ladies. Hey, we love our guys. We love Josh and all the other guys that hang out and listen to us. Peter's Faye, we love you guys, but for the most part, we have a lot of ladies that listen, so we had to put some lady apparel in the store. So we've got a couple of ladies' T-shirts, we've got a ladies' tank, and on the back of all the ladies' shirts, it says "Official Mugette." So I thought that was pretty cool.
Very nice.
So,
I love it.
So you can sport that at the mall or wherever you go, and let everybody know that you support your favorite show. And by the way, guys, you know we're not in this to get rich. Any proceeds that we make off of any sales of any of the products, we'll go into giveaways. We'll buy some things we can give away to you guys for prizes, and to upgrade equipment so that we can continue bringing you, you know, a high quality show. So don't think that we're, you know, going to the Bahamas on it. Well, we might.
Right, and actually, well, consider this. I probably was our first customer. I actually ordered my own shirt.
Yes, you were. You were.
And I was impressed at how quickly it got here. I was expecting a different package that morning.
Right.
And the doorbell rang, and my shirt arrived before something that was FedExed via another vendor. So I was pretty impressed with how quickly they got the merchandise here.
And I haven't gotten mine quite yet. I'm still waiting on it. But you said very high quality Hanes.
It is a Hanes. It's a Super T. As far as the men's go, now I purchased the black T-shirt, which you'll see in the video. But it's a Hanes beefy tee, and it's very comfortable.
Very cool.
And and the printing is good, so you're gonna love it.
Right.
And we'd love to see, you know, a lot of Main Street Mugs and Mugettes. If sport your gear when you're at the parks.
That's right. Right. Help put my kid through college. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
just messing with you.
Yeah,
oh goodness. Stay. So this segment is all about hidden magic, hidden things at Walt Disney World. In fact, you guys asked for this a couple of weeks ago, and my wife surprised me a few weeks ago with a book entitled exactly "The Hidden Magic of Walt Disney World." It's by an author, Susan, and I may screw up her last name, but it's either Venice or Vanessa, V-E-N-E-S-S. And I haven't been able to put this book down since I've got it because, you know, I consider myself pretty knowledgeable when it comes to the parks. But, you know, I will admit there's things that I've missed that I've never done that. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that. And I want to do it the next time we go. So if you will allow, I'm going to, you know, basically just kind of read some of the things from this book. And of course, if you know any hidden little magic, you know, secrets about Walt Disney World, please feel free to call in 407-499-4335 or type it in the chat room and we'll talk about it. But, you know, if you don't mind, Glenn, I'll take the first one.
The floor is yours. Please enlighten.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Magic Kingdom. Let's start at Magic Kingdom, and this is going to be primarily, well, it's going to be all about Walt Disney World in Orlando. And this was one thing that I thought was very cool. And once again, I'm just going to kind of read out of the book. It says, "Do you have a Tinkerbell fan in your group? Try to arrive 30 minutes before the posted opening time at Magic Kingdom so you are among the first to enter the park. When guests were allowed to enter various lands at Rope Drop, walk directly through Cinderella Castle into Fantasyland to Tinker Bell's treasures. It'll be on your left. The first person to enter will be allowed to, quote-unquote, awaken Tinker Bell by releasing her from the wooden box on a shelf behind the cashier's till near the back of the shop. If you are not among the first to visit, you can still see the pixie dust trail she leaves as she flies around the shop throughout the day. For a special view of the precocious, I can't say that word. Precocious. Thank you. Pixie, take a look in the first keyhole in the sewing drawer next to the door at the front of the shop. So, I mean, you know, if those of you that have been around a little while, you remember, you know, the World of Disney, you know, television show that used to come on. And of course, you know, Tinkerbell flies on the zip line during Wishes. But, you know, Tinkerbell is kind of like, you know, the girl at Walt Disney World. She's where all the magic happens. You see her in everything. And of course, now that, you know, Pixie Hollow is coming, you know, she's got an even greater role. But, you know, how cool if you were the person to awaken Tinkerbell at Magic Kingdom? That would be awesome. I want to do that.
That would be great.
I want to do
that. Now, that would involve getting up early, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll make that your mission. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wait a minute. I've just been corrected.
I saw that.
Amy just corrected us and said, it is closed now, Mike. No longer an option. Really? Well, Well,
let's get a hold of Susan, the author, and have her do an update like Len does with his books.
Yeah, that's right. That was anticlimactic. So. I tell you what. Well, then I tell you what. As I thumb through here, we'll do this live.
That's okay. I've got one for you.
Absolutely.
How about Push the Talking Trash Can?
Oh,
have
yeah.
Have you guys ever met him?
That's great.
This is at Magic Kingdom. He's normally in Tomorrowland. And it's I won't give it away, but it's one of those little secrets. If you can time it right, I don't know. It's normally it's in and out for about 20 minutes, generally between like 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. It's kind of a hit or miss thing, and it's just random. He looks just like any other trash can, but he's very interactive, and it's great for the kids.
It is awesome. I love it, and the cast member that controls him, a little bit behind the scenes, just. Try to find him. That's what I'll say, because he's controlling this basically remote control trash can, and he's providing the voice for Push. But he's not hiding behind a lamppost or something somewhere. He's right in the middle of you, and he's wearing civilian clothes, non cast member uniforms, and he blends in. And good luck finding him. Sometimes it's really tough, And he does. He controls the trash can. He interacts. He dances. He sings and. And he also, by the way, now I've never tried this. I've been scared. Have you ever seen anyone actually put trash in him? Is he a real working trash can? Or
I'm not. I believe you can open the flap that says Push, but I'm not sure if I would be. I'm not sure if it'd be wise to deposit anything, especially liquid.
Yeah.
Considering the robotics involved, I would probably shy away from any liquids. But I don't know. I've seen people try to. I've seen it actually. The lever does work where you can the receptacle.
Right. Right. So, very cool.
And there's kind of a go ahead.
No, go you go ahead.
There's also a similar type experience over at Animal Kingdom, and his name, of course, I live in West Palm Beach, and his name is Wes Palm. And if you can find Wes Palm, that is it's also an interactive part of the experience. I don't know how to explain it without giving too much away, but he's a palm tree that talks to you and the children, and he roves around. He's also a remote vehicle, and he's interactive. So. It's exciting to talk to a palm tree. Normally I talk to them in my front yard and they don't talk back, but at the Magic Kingdom they do in Animal Kingdom.
I've never experienced that. I knew about Divine. I knew about her. The vine that's the walking lady and she's covered in green. I knew about that. That's very cool. By the way, if you've never checked that out, try to stop and see Divine. It's one of those things where it's like you really don't know what to think about it. It's kind of freaky. It freaks you out at first, but you're like. You stand there long enough, and you're like, "That's pretty awesome." So,
yeah.
So moving on to Epcot, and this I hope this doesn't give too much away if we end up critiquing this here in just a little while. But Universe of Energy, Universe of Energy may be the most obviously educational attraction in Walt Disney World. It was originally a rather dry litany of potential energy sources, making the ride popular for a nap. In air-conditioned comfort. A 1996 remake introduced the comedy of Ellen DeGeneres and the competitive thrill of popular television game show Jeopardy, lightening the mood while focusing on the issue of sustainable fuel choices. As you approach Universe of Energy, notice how the vertical columns are reminiscent of a rainbow. Before the pavilion's 1996 makeover, the color scheme was more in keeping with the energy theme, with panels running along each side, starting as a warm sunshine yellow, gradually becoming fiery ember like a beacon pointing toward a red-hot power center. And it's just amazing, how much thought is put into the architecture. Speaking of heat, look up at the roof. It's covered with 80,000 photovoltaic cells that provide solar energy captured and converted into AC and then used to power the ride. So the sun is literally powering this whole thing. As the voiceover indicates, during your journey, you are literally riding on sunshine. During the pre-show, when Ellen realizes she is losing badly at Jeopardy but has control over the outcome because she's the one dreaming about it, she says, "Freeze." And it says here, notice, however, her lips don't move. Oops. Fans of the 1940 Disney movie Fantasia might recognize a small tribute to Walt's most ambitious cinematic undertaking as they travel past a confrontation between the T-Rex and Stegosaurus. I have seen this. The same scene can also be found in the movie's Rite of Spring composition depicting the creation of the cosmos through the dinosaur's extinction. And finally, as you exit the dinosaur portion of the ride, you hear a radio broadcast compliments of KNRG News Radio. Do the station's call letters bring anything to mind? They are a shortened version of kinetic energy. So
there you go. Yeah, just, I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So just, you know, little things like that that, you know, make the attractions even more magical. I mean, anything you got for Epcot, Glenn?
Well, I wanted to mention one thing. You know, we on almost every show we give kudos to the people as you're walking down Main Street in the Magic Kingdom, the Imagineers, who oftentimes their names will be incorporated into the, you know, the structures on the glass. You know, say for instance, you know, if they some kind of establishment, it'll somehow work an Imagineer's name in. But as far as Epcot. let's see. The flat fireworks. As you Epcot exit, or if you exit Epcot at night, take a look down the ground as you traverse through the Interventions Plaza. Embedded in the cement are these lights, these LEDs,
oh, those
and
are
they're
so
called
cool.
flat fireworks. Yeah. Well, that's what they call them. And the last time we took Katarina back in February, she had a great time playing on the flat fireworks, as they call them. And they're just, it's a part of the ground, and they're fiber optic lights. And the kids just loved, and there's no water involved in these. There are some that have water, but the ones that we found near Interventions don't have water. And she was just having a great time skipping around in the lights. They're called flat fireworks. So
that is awesome. I mean, you know, I love the flat fireworks. I also love the Fountain of Nations. That is very cool.
Yeah,
you know, it's just absolutely. Wow. Epcot's just an
and there's
amazing
so,
place.
And by the way, there's so much we could do probably three shows on the amount of information that we both gathered as far as little secrets and hiddens. If you guys out there, the listeners, have any questions, remember 407-499-4335. And if you guys have something we haven't thought about,
yep.
Don't hesitate to call in.
Absolutely. So moving on to Hollywood Studios. This was something very cool that I thought of because, of course, you pass this thing every time. One of the first elements greeting guests as they enter Disney's Hollywood Studios is the Crossroads of the World Information Kiosk, its spire rising high above Hollywood Boulevard. The Crossroads is a replica of the original Crossroads of the World in Hollywood, California, with the addition of Mickey Mouse standing proudly on top. Not only does the kiosk serve the functional purpose of providing park maps and various necessities to guests, it also serves as a less obvious purpose. Mickey has one ear higher than the other, and his right hand is outstretched. What's he doing up there? His copper ear is grounded and acts as a lightning rod.
Oh, that's very cool.
Ah, see?
That's two birds in one stone.
Exactly.
I like that one.
You're like, ah, very cool, huh?
Yeah.
it's stuff like that. Anything for Hollywood Studios while we're on that part?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Star Wars. So as you go into Star Tours, there's a giant AT-AT, Imperial Walker, in between the Walker and the Backstage Express dining location, you better be careful there because there's a good chance that you might get hit with a barrage of lasers. In this case, they're Disney lasers, which is water. So be careful near the AT-ATs at Star Tours.
Very cool. Very cool.
And speaking of, and one other thing,
yeah,
when you're doing the, I had one here. Sorry, lost it for a second. Indiana Jones, right? After you exit Indiana Jones, look for a rope that says "Do not pull," because if you pull the rope, there's a surprise. And of course, a lot of folks look at that and obey the rules. Well, I've never been one to exactly obey the rules.
Sure.
So
I mean,
especially the speed laws here in the state of Florida.
There's no fun. Right?
But yeah, when you see "Do not pull," that's in my book, that's encouragement to pull. So do that. That's right after you exit Indiana Jones.
Very cool. And I'm trying to think of something here out of the book to do for Animal Kingdom. Now you've already mentioned the palm tree,
right.
But I was trying to let me see here. And guys, this is live, so let's see here.
Right.
One thing I will tell you that I know off the top of my head, Mount Everest or Expedition Everest, when the attraction first opened. They touted the Yeti being inside as one of the most complex and one of the largest audio animatronics they had ever created. And it still is to this day. It's one of the most complex they've ever created. And early riders of the ride, when the thing first opened, got to experience the Yeti in its true operating functionality, the way it was designed to work. But maybe in a design flaw by the Imagineers, they did not account for how much shaking that this thing will undergo, because, I mean, this is a roller coaster, you know? I mean, roller coasters right. shake. They have to move. And they did. I don't think they accounted for as much movement as was going on, and it was constantly causing the animatronic to mess up. So, you know, they have an answer for that. They have a solution, and that is, most of the time when you ride Expedition Everest, the Yeti is going to be in what's called B mode, and that means that they pull off some movie magic and they make him look like he's actually moving and still swooping his arm down on you, when in reality he doesn't move at all. All they use is strobe lights and fans to blow his fur, but it's still, I mean, to this day, I could swear that thing is moving and reaching down and grabbing you, but 99.9% of the time, he is in B mode. Every now and then, every now and then, they'll crank up the A mode. That's kind of reserved for, you know, like VIP guest and things like that, when the park's not quite as crowded and it's not going to be as much abuse, shall we say, on the animatronic. But yeah, most of the time, when the Yeti moves, it's really an optical illusion done with strobe lights and fans. So not a lot of people Very know cool. that. Yeah. Yep.
Now, what was the name of the book again that you some of these ideas that you mentioned
this
during
is,
the segment?
This is
the author and the name of the book again?
Susan Vaness, V-E-N-E-S-S, and it's The Hidden Magic of Walt Disney World. And we'll try to put a link up on the site for maybe where you can go to purchase this off of Amazon or somewhere like that. But very interesting reading. The book is chopped full of things like that. I'm trying to look at exactly how many pages we have here. We've got 234 pages of just all kinds of stuff.
Right. And I was in the chat room. Disney Fan 2013 mentioned that at the Muppets, look for the key under the mat. I have not seen that one yet. So that's maybe something. I'm not sure if this research trip we're going to get over to that park, but
yep,
perhaps
yep.
I will find that one.
Perhaps
so.
We
very
will.
Cool. Thanks for the idea.
So, guys, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. 407-499-4335. You guys are still welcome to call in with anything that you think is would classify as hidden magic at the parks. But when we come back, it's time to critique. Our critique of the week live here on Main Street Mugs Live, the one that you guys have voted for all throughout the show. That's coming up. Your calls, your chat. It's all part of the show. The most interactive Disney show on the net, Main Street Mugs Live. Stick around. More to come.
Main Street Mugs.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
I'm having a great time. Ted, you have something dangling from your chin.
Okay, here. Did I get it?
Not yet. It's right under your, I think it is your chin.
Oh, yeah, my double chin. I'm losing it thanks to small step number 85. When eating out, choose smaller portions.
I see. Well, it's working. I think your chin just fell into my ceviche.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy, the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
Today, people are living united. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Yee-haw! Hello, everybody. This is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and you're listening to the Main Street Mugs. Come on out. We'll be saving you a seat.
Main Street Mugs back for our last segment of the show tonight. 407-499-4335. That's 4335. Or you can chat in the chat room with us. MainStreetMugs.com. Look for the chat room window and go ahead and jump on in there. We have friendly people in the chat room, Glenn.
We do. We have I tell you what, we have the greatest listeners in the world and chatters in the world. We really do. We're blessed. There's nobody gets upset. There's no bickering, and everyone's got lots of questions. And the best part about it is, when we're wrong, they correct us, and that means they're paying attention.
That's
so
exactly
I like that.
Right. That's exactly right. That's, you know, especially Amy.
That goes without saying.
That's right. But she's so kind when she does it. So
yes, she is.
That's right.
Yeah. It makes that hammer a lot more palatable. No, I'm kidding, Amy. We love you.
Absolutely.
I tell you what, the votes are in. By the way,
the votes are in. All right.
The votes are in, and tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking a ride on Ellen's Energy Adventure at the University of Energy at Epcot.
That's right.
That's our destination this evening.
I have always loved this attraction from the very first time I rode it, and I think Ellen only helps add to it. I like Ellen. She's one of my favorite female comedians, and her sense of humor and her talent really kind of adds to this. But let's take it from step one. And I'll let you kind of walk people through it in the beginning, Glenn.
Okay. Well, you enter the Universe of Energy, and there's going to be a pre-show, an audience where you're going to be standing, and it's known as the Kinetic Mosaic, and that was invented by a Czech film director, Emil Radok. Now, some of this stuff is kind of canned, and I'm reading from you know, and I hate to do that, but the fleet, the scenes kind of flip through, rotated under computer control, and it's live action. It's I guess it kind of reminds me a little bit of what the Living Seas used to be, the old intro there with the audience standing, and that's the pre-show. So right, that's and that's with us standing.
Right.
After that, you're going to be led into the seated part, and Michael, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, the seated part, that's always been one of the coolest things, because you're seated in these, well, for lack of a better term, they're basically moving theater seating. You don't realize that it is a ride vehicle, really. When you are seated, you think that you're just, you know, going to sit there and basically watch a film or enjoy this what's going on. But in reality, these ride vehicles that you're sitting on, eventually, after you watch the pre-show, you will then go into another room which has the movie playing of Ellen. And she is on Jeopardy.
My favorite television game show. Yeah.
Yes.
And the one thing about, let me get back up just one second before. Okay, when you enter this theater, this seated theater, it seats about 100 people, and you're sitting, left and right. And you go down the center aisle, and you can sit left or right. But the amazing thing is, it seats 100 people. Now, what this attraction does that a lot don't is that the entire theater is sectionalized, where it breaks up into almost a train from it's like a Rubik's Cube that turns into a line. It's amazing.
Yeah. And as we said earlier when we were talking about the hidden magic, this whole thing is powered by the solar panels on the roof. And, you know, these ride vehicles are huge. I mean, they're huge. And like Glenn said, they kind of just, you know, all self-separate and then they line up in a train behind each other. And that takes you into the next section of the ride. But staying here for just a minute, as we said, Ellen is basically on Jeopardy. And Alex Trebek, you know, you either love him or you love to hate him. You know, one of the two. I'm convinced he is the smartest man alive. he leads Ellen through various questions and about energy and things like that. And Ellen, you know, lends her comedy to it. And go ahead.
One person I want to mention in here that we haven't mentioned yet is during this entire thing, Ellen is having a dream sequence. And she interacts with, you know, the nerdy types like myself and others will appreciate the actor that's in here, which is Bill Nye, the science guy. And he is kind of the muse in this entire attraction, where he's in her head and she becomes a part in her dream sequence of the game show Jeopardy. And it's got Alex Trebek and, of course, Johnny Gilbert, the announcer, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep, Jamie Lee.
I mean, that's a great show with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you got
You
got some major acting talent here. You really do.
Yes, you do.
You really do.
And again, the same thing might be said about Jamie Lee Curtis. You can love her, hate her, and take her, leave her. That's fine. Same with Alex Trebek.
Right, right.
But I think as a team, the production's very good.
Right.
So they're playing the game of Jeopardy. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but
no, you're
ahead.
Fine. Now, one thing I was, you know, this is kind of goes with the whole hidden magic thing. That not a lot of people know about is when they were building and shooting the Jeopardy part of the film. Unfortunately, they weren't able to actually shoot the Jeopardy portion on the Jeopardy set. So Imagineers had to build a virtual Jeopardy set. And you know, there's a few subtle differences that aren't right in line with the real Jeopardy set, but for the most part, they pulled it off. They really did.
And by the way, from the chat room, again, a correction there. I did omit someone that I failed to mention. And thanks to Isvan 2013, Albert Einstein is also a part of this. He's the third contestant on the Jeopardy show. And Disney Fan 2013 is absolutely great. He is so funny because he has no idea what he's doing there. He can't figure out the button to answer in. And even if he did, I'm not sure it would help. So very, very cool. Thanks.
Stupid Judy. Remember that line?
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
And by the way, that's a line from actually that's one of Len Testa's lines from WW Today. But that's something you have to look for. You have to listen for very carefully because it's early in as you're going in. Listen very carefully if you want to hear, you know, somebody say or Ellen DeGeneres say, "Stupid Judy, stupid energy."
Yep, she is so funny. So you watch this film, And the seated portion, once again, you're seated in these ride vehicles. And then at the conclusion of this Jeopardy match, the theater, literally the screens that you're watching, kind of separates. It's like the whole building, the wall just separates in two. And these ride vehicles, as we've mentioned, they now become, these theater seats now become ride vehicles. And they line up in a train, one behind each other, and they go basically through the, you know, where the wall split. And now you are in what's called a dinorama, correct?
Correct. Yep, and dinorama.
Yeah, the dinorama, it takes you through the ways that energy have been used all the way back to prehistoric and dinosaur days. And, granted, these aren't probably as advanced animatronics as what you'll see in Dinosaur, you know, the ride over at Animal Kingdom. But these, nothing to sneeze at. These are some great animatronics.
Oh, they are. And the other thing of this is, okay, if you visit Walt Disney World or Epcot or the Magic Kingdom in general in the summertime, this, if you're really tired of the heat, this is the ride for you, because this ride duration is 45 minutes. So, and it's air conditioned the entire way, and you're sitting the entire way. So, I'm always the comfort guy. No, Michael, you know me. I'm a man of leisure. So,
a man of leisure.
I am the man of leisure. The Magic Man does enjoy his leisure time. And the 45 minutes of this attraction, yes, it will kill a touring plan if you're trying to, you know, do the kamikaze plan.
Right.
However, if you're trying to take it easy and you want to get out and beat the heat, this is the ride for you.
Yep, absolutely. So, absolutely.
But back to now you've got me saying it, the diorama.
The diorama.
So, well, I mean, the reason I said dinorama, because there are dinosaurs in the beginning of the diorama. So
you're right.
It's, I call it the dinorama.
Right. So, well, I was going to let you take the diorama part. Tell us a little bit about what exactly happens in there.
Well, the vehicles break up into six, from a mass vehicle into six particular vehicles, right, separate vehicles. And then you're going through. Bill Nye and Ellen are going on their great energy adventure, and you're going through how energy is created and the different types of energy, whether it's natural gas, solar, wind power. It's just super cool to and all the effects, again, not just the animatronics, but there's also in the theater itself, there's wind that, you know, there's that fourth dimension, that 4D that we talk about sometimes, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, you know, and at the end of the diorama part, you are going to come back into the theater at which you were in before you went into the diorama. All the all the seats kind of reassemble themselves back into theater seating, and there's a 2-minute conclusion of Ellen's Jeopardy dream. You know, where she kind of wakes up and realizes what's happened. So,
right, and she takes all the knowledge about energy that she's learned through the diorama. And she was, by the way, when you saw her in the first dreamscape on Jeopardy, she was down by a bunch of points to Jamie Lee Curtis, her roommate in college. At this point, though, she turns on the jets, and I don't know if I should spoil it, but Ellen does a great job of answering the questions in Final Jeopardy.
Yes.
That's all I can say about that.
This is a great attraction. It's so fun. And, you know, I think the building itself is one of, you know, probably next to, you know, of course, you know, Spaceship Earth is the icon, obviously, of Epcot. But I would say a close second is probably the Universe of Energy attraction, because, you know, it looks very futuristic. It's got all the solar panels on the roof, you know, and it's just an amazing attraction, a great building. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is, Michael, it's an original. It opened October 1st, 82. It's an original attraction, whereas a lot of the attractions, Horizons and World of Motion, have been replaced. Even Living Well, now it did an upgrade in 1996. It closed for a little while and got an upgrade. But a lot of, and so did Living with the Land. So it's pretty cool that it's still there. And it was a mainstay in 82, and it's still a mainstay in 2000, and so.
Right. You know, which can't be said, you know, in fact, I know we're kind of getting off the subject here, but what was the pavilion that housed the body?
Branding Command and that sort of thing?
Yeah,
that, yeah, you look at things like that. I mean, yeah,
that's still sitting vacant. That's just a big empty, and that's a huge building. That's a huge building.
So, I mean, if you're going to like Honey and Shrunk the Audience, you look to your right, and there's space there that's not currently occupied with Craning Command, and I'm trying to think of the other attraction that was there, But yeah, there's a lot of space that. So what I'm saying about energy is that I'm impressed that it's still there.
Yep.
Because,
absolutely.
And of course, I enjoy it. I really do. I love Ellen DeGeneres, and I love Jeopardy, so it works out well for me.
Yep. So it is definitely on your must-to-do list. Put it on your must-to-do list. I mean, it's as we've said, even if you could care less about Ellen DeGeneres or Energy, and you think this is the most boring attraction in the world, which, you know, it is educational. I will say that. You know, it's not high energy, no pun intended. it is very laid back, but it is a lot of fun and it's very interesting. And you know, as we've said, if for no other reason, a great 45-minute nap in a cool air conditioned building.
Right. And I noticed in the chat room that a lot of folks they like the idea of getting either out of the heat or out of the rain,
right.
You know, I'm a Floridian, so I'm used to the rain. I just put the ponchos in the backpack. But you're right. If you're not really into the rain, it's a good place to wait out a shower, because the rule here in Florida is if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. It'll change. So.
Now, one thing I was going to ask you about, Glenn, is I'm pretty positive as I look through my notes here. This is not a fast passable attraction at Epcot.
This is not. No.
But, I was going to say, due to the fact that, you know, it is such a long attraction, it's 45 minutes. Do you notice it being an exceptionally long wait time? Between, you know, because of course they have to wait 45 minutes before they can board the next group. It holds 100 people, granted, but what has been your experience with wait times on this?
Well, actually, the normal wait times between 6 and 10 minutes in our case, my experience in my entire life, because once you queue up for the standing part, before you're ushered into the seated part of the attraction, and it's almost seamless because people are exiting and you're entering, it's normally, you know, less than 10 minutes. And at the most in the summertime, it'll be 20 or so. And maybe I'm wrong there, but
and at least you're waiting
speaking,
inside.
There's not much because it's almost like an omnimover. There is there's some static time where the vehicles aren't moving, but it's very short.
Right. So it's a great attraction. Thank you guys for voting for it tonight. Glenn, you know, in the few minutes we have left, I wanted to promote, because this is something we don't hit every show, but it's, of course, still out there. Send Glenn. You know, we're coming up on our trip, you know, in 17 days. And I think we have one mission, and that is to parasail while we're there.
I'm going up. I'm going up, up and away.
Up and away in your beautiful parachute.
I am. We're going to take time to do that over at Wilderness. I believe I can catch that off the Wilderness Lodge.
By the way, I want to pose a question. You know, you guys ask questions. I want to pose a question to the audience. I'm sure Amy might know, or someone in the chat room might know that has done this before. Glenn will be the one parasailing because he is the one that's been given this mission. Not that I wouldn't parasail. It's just I probably won't have the money, to be honest with you, to do it myself. Would love to and started to at Castaway Key when we went on our cruise. It just didn't work out. Glenn is going to be parasailing. What I want to know, this is, of course, happens over at Sammy Duval's over at the Contemporary Resort. Is there a charge for a ride-along guy? You know, because I want to be the guy holding the camera, you know, shooting the ground footage of him up in the air. You know, by the way, Glenn, I don't know if you know this or not, they have two versions of the parasail adventure. They have one that goes up about 400 feet, and of course that's less expensive. They have one that goes up 600 feet, and that's the more expensive one. Any indication as to which one you're going to do?
Well, then? Let's just put it this way. In Characters of Flight at Downtown Disney, that goes 400 feet, and that's $16. Now, this one is marginally more expensive. I'm going to stick with 400. I don't think there's anything I can see at 600 that I can't see at 400. And I'm not being, you know, I'm not trying to wuss out on that. I'm just saying that I think the 400's fine to start out. We'll see how it goes. It's my first time parasailing, so
right.
We'll give it a shot.
But yeah, so,
if that's okay with the audience.
Yeah, so I'm curious to know, do you know if there's a charge for a ride along person in the boat to basically shoot video? Because, you know, I know, of course, if we were going to do a tandem parasail thing, there would be a charge for two parasailers, but just for someone to ride along, is there a charge for that? Does anybody know? I'm looking in the chat room now. Do you see anything?
I don't have any idea either. I will find out, though. We will find out. And
we'll find
out. By the way, I just want to, while I'm waiting for a response there, Amy Sinclair, Ears of Experience, I have to, again, give her kudos. She has made our planning of this trip just seamless. So if anybody, you know, wants to get in contact with her, that would be the way to go.
You have a Sin Glenn challenge from Josh from Disney Fan 13 in the room. He said,
Go ahead.
He wants you to stand on the stage during the Hall of Presidents and act like a robot.
Okay, now, okay, Josh, listen, I'm not sure you mentioned you heard our first show together, but we did mention the Utilidors and the Disney, the Foxes. If I did that, there might be some time in the penalty box, and I our schedule is so tight this particular trip that I won't be able to do that this particular trip, but I will – I'll tell you what I'll do instead. I'll get myself doing the robot outside with the cast member who normally is dressed in the in the garb of the day,
right?
In the late 1700s or early 1800s.
Good idea. Because
I will do the robot outside on stage. If I mess with Mr. Lincoln and he starts leaking hydraulic fluid, I'm in for it. I'm probably culpable for that. So my insurance does not cover that.
not to mention, I think Lincoln could take you, Glenn. I really do.
I got that skinny guy by him. I got him. He may be 6'4". I got him. No. That's good. No, that's a great one. I will put that. That's going to be that's an easy for me to do because I have no problem being, the kind of the ham. I don't mind doing things that people look and say, what is he doing?
Right.
I don't mind being that person. So, but as long as Michael has the camera and gets some video, we'll be good. This is going to be great because you guys are going to love the content we receive in the next, 17 days, you said? 18 days?
17 days, I think the last time I checked my countdown calendar. So, yeah, it's going to be
cool.
Fun. It's going
to
be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. And again, if you have any send Glenn's, send them to the website. You send them to the email there, and we'd love to accommodate. Yep. If it's legal, remember, that's the rule. If it's legal.
Yep. Ritz is saying that if they don't allow me to ride on the boat, that a cast member on the boat might tape it for you. And, of course, they're saying you could tape it from the air or take a camera up in the air with you, which I think you're planning on doing that, right?
I am going to do that. Yeah, I have a Sony CyberShot, and it's a small camera. I've got a waterproof pouch with a wristband. So I'm going to do my best through the waterproof pouch. So in case I drop it from 400 feet, you guys will get some great footage of it flying down, that distance and then hitting the water. I'm not sure if it'll survive the impact.
Now,
but we
may have to edit sound on this depending on...
it's going to be buffety up there. Yeah, it's going to be windy.
Well, no, I wasn't meaning that. I was meaning, depending on how much you scream like a girl as you're going up 400 feet.
Oh, no. I can handle that. It's not so much going up. It's the coming down that I fear.
Right.
And it's not even really coming down that I fear. It's the sudden stop at the bottom.
At the bottom, right.
But
exactly.
With a parachute, I'm okay. And I trust Disney. I they love me and I love them.
That's right.
We're good.
That's right. So if you have a send Glenn for Glenn to do on this upcoming trip, as long as it's legal and won't get us thrown in jail, send it to mainstreetmugslive@gmail.com just put send Glenn in the subject line. So we would love
for you
to do that. We are looking forward to it. And I think as far as my question on being able to ride along, we didn't get the answer this time. But, hey, if you know the answer, once again, send anything that you need to mainstreetmugslive@gmail.com. And that's something we want to be promoting as well, is that throughout the week, guys, if you guys have any ideas for show topics, just any questions that you would like to ask us, send it to our email address, mainstreetmugslive@gmail.com. And don't forget as well that we have the voicemail system set up all the time. The same number that we use to take live calls during the week, we have it set up for voicemail when we're not on the air. So if you have any questions, comments, anything about the show, phone in 407-499-4335. If it goes to voicemail, leave a voicemail message. We'd love to get your feedback on ways we can make this show better. And speaking of feedback,
right there we go.
Yep. Speaking of feedback, there's one last thing as some of you guys might have seen on our Facebook fan page. And that is, I put up a video a day or so ago, basically asking your opinion. Glenn and I are always, wanting to grow the show, grow the numbers. And so with that in mind, Glenn and I off air have talked about the possibility, and it's just a possibility, just an idea right now, on changing the day and or the time that the show airs. Now, if you guys think it's great on Tuesday nights at the current time slot, we'll keep it at that. We're not in any rush to change it. But if there's a time that would work better for you guys, maybe it would work better on a Monday night or maybe on a weekend night or something like that. Let us know. We want to get things like that so that we can have the show and as many people as possible be able to listen to it live. That's another thing we have out there. So send your comments on that, MainStreetMugsLive@gmail.com. And we love you guys.
One last thing, Michael. Amy did get back to us here. She said she's not sure about the ride-along, but she will call tomorrow, so we'll have an answer. So I leave that in Amy's trustworthy hands.
Absolutely. Amy is the bomb.
Yep.
To use an overused, out-of-date term.
Well, listen, sir, thank you very much. It was a great, great night.
Thank you. Thanks to our special guest, Lynn Testa, tonight. Once again, a walking encyclopedia of Disney knowledge, and you can link to his site off of our site. We'll have that up here within the day. Or just go to touringplans.com. Check out their podcast as well, WDW Today, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Thanks to Amy to call it in. Thanks to everybody who has joined us tonight. Don't forget, we can be found all over the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on iTunes. We're everywhere. And we just appreciate you guys hanging along for the ride. For Glenn Watts, I am Mike Miller saying God bless. Have a magical evening. See you back again next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock. 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central for Main Street Mugs. Good night.